Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This half hour, we're joined by Chandler Hall. He's the Associate Director of Gun Violence Prevention with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I want to talk about what actual crime prevention, actual violence prevention looks like, what works and what doesn't work, because I think it's so critical for whether it's policymakers and elected officials or candidates or you and I on the radio to acknowledge that there can be crime problems and people can have a good faith fear of their safety, and the facts about violent crime cannot match that, but there, we still need to remediate and deal with crime. And the way to do that, the way to look at public safety is to look at what actually works. And there is incredible, incredibly effective ways of doing this. And while a dominant police presence in D.C. or other places may provide some kind of temporary reprieve, that is not, there is not evidence to support that these massive crackdowns or so-called quality of life policing actually leads to long-term violent crime prevention. Chandler, you've spent much of your academic and professional life thinking and working in these issues. What intervention programs, what actually works to prevent especially gun violence, but other violent crime generally?
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, because you framed it as what works and what doesn't work, we can start with what doesn't work and what we know doesn't work, right? And if guns and mass incarceration was the answer to our public safety issues, America would be the safest place in the world, and we wouldn't have any of the issues that we're having today, that we were discussing today. Of course, we know that's not the case, and so we have to look elsewhere. As I mentioned before, what widely is now considered by researchers, by academics, and by local law enforcement and city officials to be the most successful strategies to violence prevention are programs that are called community violence intervention programs. And these really are quite homegrown. They look different in every place that they're used because they rely on the hyper-local community and cultural sensitivities of that place. They rely on the actors and the community members who already have presence and sway in their communities. But all of them usually have some of the same ingredients. And that starts with credible messengers. And so that's folks who are there to do violence intervention work and who are from the community. They might have their own histories involved in the criminal legal system or even perhaps in violence, but that's what makes them also credible as a messenger to say, this needs to stop and I can reach you and be a mentor for you. One of the most important things to consider about violence and the actual nature of violence in our cities is that there's actually a very small portion of people that are committing the greatest share of violence or contributing to violent crime. And so having organizations that are based in the communities, are rooted in the communities and have that cultural sensitivity, and then are therefore able to reach those folks who display the highest risk factors being associated with violent crime or are most likely to be connected to violence. That's going to be the way that we're actually able to meaningfully change outcomes and trajectories, both of individuals' lives as well as the community. And then in addition to that, one of the things that these programs are exceptionally good at is that they really get to the kind of heart of what violence is. I think, unfortunately, and especially talking about the kind of antiquated models of violence prevention, we still think about violence and violent crime in the way that it's been kind of portrayed in Hollywood or perhaps from older generations. Stuff like it's, you know, a rational action, or that there are organized gangs that are leading this and directing individuals to participate in crime. That's just simply not the case. We don't experience that in any American city at this point. And that's really only something that you see in like Hollywood movies. To the contrary, violence is unfortunately momentary. It is an irrational behavior. It is not people that are driven by economic necessity or anything else. It is unfortunately the combination of being in a heated conflict and having access to a lethal weapon. most likely a gun. And so what these community violence intervention programs do is really give young folks in particular mentorship and give them counseling to let them work it out through for themselves, changing behaviors and being able to themselves de-escalate from conflicts or recognize the signs of when conflict is about to arise to remove themselves from those situations and avoid ever being in a situation in which violence might be the outcome, unfortunately. So again, these programs are really unique to, you know, where they're grown. But all of the models kind of have these same sort of ingredients to them. And time again, they've consistently shown that they are the most effective models to reducing violence in communities.
Folks, that's Chandler Hall, the Associate Director of Gun Violence Prevention for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I want to highlight two things that you said there, Chandler. Violence prevention that works is a ground-up, community-driven enterprise. In other words, it ain't going to work by sending in the National Guard and federalizing local law enforcement. Secondly, cities see violence that is primarily driven from a small number of people that are engaged in spur-of-the-moment, highly violent, reactive engagements. It is interrupting those engagements, helping people figure out how to avoid getting into those situations and how to de-escalate them, that will actually reduce violence in our communities. These aren't groups of people sitting around plotting out how to commit violent crimes. Those folks exist, and that's actually what we need the FBI to be doing. That's not local violence prevention, folks. Thanks so much to Chandler Hall. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to explain why Donald Trump is the most anti-business, anti-freedom, and anti-free market president in modern American history. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.